With me to Matthew chapter 28. We'll read that great resurrection story this morning, Matthew chapter 28. Have you ever heard an angel preach? Well, certainly I'm not an angel, so I'm not talking about me. But this morning we're going to hear an angel preach a message, and that's what our message is going to be, actually just telling you what an angel told the ladies that came to the tomb that's early Sunday morning. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 1. Matthew 28 and verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and with joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. This morning I want to take this passage of scripture and use what the angel said this morning. And the title this morning is The Angel's Easter Message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this day for the singing of the great resurrection, the death of Christ. Of course, we heard through song this morning, and we heard of the great resurrection. Now this morning, as we continue that theme, we'll look at this account from Matthew concerning the resurrection. And I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't be just another, yes, we've heard that before, yes, it's Easter, Jesus rose from the grave, but may it impact us, may it touch our life this morning, may we appreciate the resurrection, may we go away honoring you and glorifying you and worshiping you and telling others of the great resurrection of Jesus. Bless now this message, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Imagine the emotion that the people must have gone through that were followers of Christ. Some of them witnessed the actual death of Jesus on the cross. Mary, his mother, was there. Mary Magdalene was there. John, his beloved disciple, was there. Others were there weeping. Some of the women that had believed in Jesus were there likewise. His apostles were afar off, watching, I'm sure, knowing what had happened. And can you imagine the emotion, knowing that the Son of God, the Savior, the one that you had pledged your allegiance to and your life to, and the one you'd followed, now is dead. The body is removed off the cross by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. And Joseph has a tomb that no one had, no other body had been buried in. And they take Jesus and place him in that tomb after he was wrapped in clean linen. There they place his body there, and at the placing of the body of Jesus, they took and rolled a stone. In verse 63, if you look at the story in the previous chapter, chapter 27, Matthew 27, it says in verse 63, saying, "Sir, we remember that the deceiver said," they called Jesus a deceiver, by the way, "while he was yet alive, after 3 days I'll rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. And so the last error shall be worse than the first." And Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." And so they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. And so that day, not only was Jesus placed in the tomb, but the stone was rolled in front, and guards were there in order to make sure that nobody came and disturbed or took the body of Jesus, because they were afraid if the body was taken, then he would be known as really a true prophet, and they did not believe that he was truly the Son of God. And so not only were guards set there, but they put a Roman seal that was some sort of insignia or maybe a strand or a rope or something that signified that this was under the authority of the Roman government and you better not mess with the tomb. And so the guards were there, the seal was set, Pilate had given the order, and now the guards stayed there day and night, protecting and watching over so that no one would take the body of Jesus. And by the way, nobody would take the body of Jesus. It wasn't a robbery that went on. It was a resurrection that went on. It wasn't people that came and took the body. It was Christ who rose again. And so that day, as they set the body there and set it behind the stone, now the wait begins. And his followers had heard that he was going to rise a third day, but for some reason they didn't understand it. They didn't expect it. Now the Pharisees, you know, were prepared for it by setting forth guards there. But what would become of his followers? Some had been just common fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. Would they go back fishing again? Matthew was a publican. Would he go back working for the government again, collecting taxes? Simon was a zealot. Would he go back to whatever group he was involved in? Others were just common people. What would they do now? Jesus is dead. His ministry is over. For 3.5 years, they got to witness the Son of God. But now he's dead. Now he's gone. And what do we do with our lives? I'm sure there was a sense of you know, dissatisfaction or a sense of discouragement or being forlorn or being, in essence, really confused. And what do we do now that the Son of God has gone from us? And so the ladies decided that on that third day they would take the spices. Probably one of the spices was taken that day was probably myrrh, the same spice that was brought to Jesus at his birth by the wise men. And so they would take that those spices and go early in the morning. But according to verse 2, as they got there that first day of the week, that Sunday morning, an earthquake had happened. Now last week we looked at the death of Christ and we saw that as Jesus hung on the cross, what happened? There was an earthquake. And 3 days later, there's another earthquake, and this earthquake shook open the tomb as such. And as the earthquake had come that day, not only did that happen, but an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone. Did Jesus need the stone rolled back? I believe Jesus probably just went right through the stone. But the stone was rolled back so that the people that came to witness that he was not there could see inside without having to go to the soldiers and ask them to roll back the stone. Instead, the angel of the Lord rolled back the stone, and he's sitting upon the stone. Could you imagine those ladies, the surprise? Instead of seeing guards there, the guards, by the way, were so scared and afraid of the earthquake and the angel and the bright light of the angel and their glowing its glowing countenance, that they probably passed out. The Bible says they were as dead men. And so they're kind of laying off on the side. The angel sitting on top of the stone, and the tomb is opened. They approached the tomb that day, spices in hand, angel in all his glory sitting upon the stone that once covered the tomb of Jesus. And I can imagine the fear, the confusion, the emotional state that these women were in as they went and viewed what had happened there at the tomb. And then the angel spoke to them. You know, angels are just messengers. You know, sometimes we picture angels as these little or these big creatures with nice gold flowing hair and big wings on their back and harps, right? And but they, you know, when they came to earth, they just looked like men. And that day, an angel was sitting upon the stone. Another account of the Easter story tells us there were two angels, and one sitting on one side, one on the other inside the tomb. But at this particular time of the story, there's just one sitting outside on top of the stone, and The angel gives a message that I want us to look at this morning. The angel said several things today to those women that I believe that you and I need to hear also. As we look at verse number 5, we see the story again. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye. The first thing the angel said was, fear not. Point number one, he gave to the message, don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. He knew they were afraid. He knew that they, you know, if you came there that day and expecting to see two guards and a stone in front of the tomb, and you see now the guards laying down, passed out, you see an angel on top of this stone, wouldn't you be afraid also? You know, I probably would have dropped the spices and said, you know, I just don't think it's the Lord's will I put spices on Jesus today. I would have taken off a different direction. But the angel says, fear not. Fear not. In essence, be calm. Be calm. The message was to be calm. They were emotionally distraught. They were afraid. They were fearful. The body was gone. They're not sure what's going on. The stone was rolled away. And yet the angel says, don't be afraid. Fear not. Be calm. Calm yourself down. You see, they were afraid because they didn't understand what was going on. But you and I many times are afraid in life because we don't know what's going on either. Fear is an emotion that all of us deal with at times. Fear is something that grips our soul. And though many times we don't want to be afraid, fear is something that's real in our lives. And I don't know this morning if fear has gripped your soul over something recently, or there's some areas in your life that you're constantly battling and always afraid and have fear. I know that there's some people that have fears of all different things and always walk around assuming the worst is going to happen, assuming that death is imminent, assuming that something bad is about to happen. And sometimes fear can grip us and really take away any joy and peace we have in our life. That day the ladies came down, I'm sure they were happy and excited to come to anoint the body of Jesus. And then fear strikes them because of an uncertain sight that they have seen. Fear. Fear not. There are some that are afraid of death. There are some that have great fear that when they die, they don't know what's going to happen. There's many that are afraid when the doctor tells them some news that could potentially take their life. Because they're not really sure what is going to happen. What happens after I die? And so for some people, there's a living fear all the time of the afterlife. But yet we see that Jesus conquered that greatest fear. We see that Jesus conquered death. We see that Jesus brought forth through the resurrection a spirit in which none of us have to be afraid. None of us have to fear. The resurrection proves that God's in charge. The resurrection proves that God is sovereign, that God is in control, and what God said He will bring to pass. Yeah. And so we are to live every day in peace. And I know that fear is something that we still have to deal with, but realize if Jesus could conquer death, He could conquer anything for us, can He not? Yeah. If He could rise from the grave, do you think He could answer a prayer of yours? Yeah. Do you think He could give you peace in place of your fear? Let's live victorious. Not only did he say, in essence, be calm, but be courageous. Be courageous. Live a life of courage. Don't walk in fear. If God is for us, what's the rest of the verse say? Who can be against us, right? I know you want to finish it for me, Brother Charles, so there you go. Be courageous. As Christians, we have nothing to fear. What's the worst thing that could happen to you? There was an evangelist, Dr. John Rice, who was the original editor of the Sword of the Lord. One day, somebody came up and held him up, put a gun to his stomach, and he said, give me all your money or I'm going to blow your brains out. And he said, well, first off, that's not where my brains are. And he said, secondly, you can't scare me with going to heaven. What's the worst thing that could happen to us? We can die and we can wake up in glory. We can die and we can walk on streets of gold instead of potholes that we are driving on. We could die and wake up in a mansion instead of where we live. We could die and see the face of Jesus and our loved ones that have gone on before us. And so he said, fear not, don't be afraid. Where death brings fear, Be calm, be courageous, and then be confident. Be confident. Be confident because Jesus kept his promise. In John 11, verse 25, when Jesus met Mary and Martha at the death of their brother Lazarus, and they said, Jesus, if you could only come here earlier, sooner, he would not have died. And Jesus went on to teach them an important lesson. And in John 11, verse 25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, if you believe in me, you're not going to die. That's a promise. Be confident in the promises of God. You know, God keeps all his promises. We don't always keep our promises. People around us don't always keep their promises, but God keeps his promises. And so I don't have to be afraid because I know that God keeps his word. If he promised me he's going to meet my every need, guess what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't have a fear of that. He promises me that he'll protect me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord promised that to me. He promised he'll guide me and walk with me every step of the way. He promised he would never leave me nor forsake me. He promised that he'll return for me one day. He promised me that he'll prepare for me a mansion in glory. And so I'm confident. I don't walk in fear. I'm not afraid of what's going to happen. Not afraid that God's going to leave me, that God's going to depart from me, that God's not going to answer a prayer, that God's not going to protect me, that God's not going to shield me. Because I know in whom I believe in.
Yes, sir.
He's going to save me. He has saved me. He's going to take my soul to heaven someday.
Yes.
He's going to take care of me till I get there on my final journey. And so don't be afraid. Don't live a life in fear. Maybe today you're gripped in fears. You're worried. Now I know we have bills. We have responsibilities. We have households to take care of. We have kids to take care of. Grandkids to take care of. I know we have a lot of issues in life. But God doesn't want us to walk in fear every day. He wants us to walk in victory. And that day when the angel said to Mary and the other Mary, fear not, I believe all their fears were gone. I believe a peace came upon them. I believe that for the first time, they had a sense of calmness and courage and confidence within themselves. And that came because of the resurrection. And so no burden is too great for him. No sickness is too tough. No storm is too violent. No sorrow is too great. No prayer is too impossible. No situation is too tough. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God's not about us walking in fear. And that day, those women, we're not afraid anymore. And I hope that you don't have fears. I hope that you don't lose the joy of life. I hope that every day you can have victory because you know that Jesus rose from the grave and he's conquered death and he's paid your sins. And so there's nothing to fear. There's no fears in life. Notice the second thing that the angel said to the women in verse number 6, where he said, he is not here. Let's go back to verse 5. An angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for you I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Second thing that the angel said was, come see. Take a look. Go inside the tomb if you'd like. Go look at the grave clothes that are left behind. Come and see. Come and see that he's risen. You see, for some people, seeing is believing. And for some people, not to see, they don't believe. They went in that day and they saw. They saw an empty tomb. Surely that tomb had a body in it 3 days ago, did it not? Didn't Joseph and Nicodemus wrap that body in linen and place that body in a tomb? And now we're going to come and look and we're going to see that the body is gone. What's happened? I'll tell you what's happened. The greatest miracle has happened. Now, Jesus performed a lot of miracles, did he not? He opened blind eyes and opened deaf ears, and lepers were cleansed, and people that were lame walked again. He even raised people from the dead, did he not? He raised Lazarus from the dead. But the greatest miracle he kept for the end. The greatest miracle that Jesus performed on earth here was not the healing of anybody else or even the raising of somebody else from the dead. I believe the greatest miracle was when Jesus rose from the grave.
Yes, sir.
The greatest miracle. And the greatest miracle brought forth the greatest message.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the message that Jesus preached? That I will be crucified and that I will die. And 3 days later, I will rise again. He preached that sermon over and over again. Over and over again, he reminded people of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Peter didn't want to hear it when he preached it. He said, no, they're not going to kill you. They're not going to do that, in essence, on my watch. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You're talking like the devil now. The disciples in John 14, when they heard that Jesus was going to die, they were so distraught that Jesus had to start a great message by saying, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You see, salvation comes to those who believe the resurrection. This morning, we all believe something, don't we? You all have to believe something. There's some people believe that God created the heavens and the earth. Other people believe that we're a process of evolution. There's some that believe that there's a God in heaven. There's others believe that there is no higher power. But everybody believes something. Everybody believes, you have to believe something because you don't have answers in front of you. And so you have to believe by faith in something. That day, the ladies were told, go inside and you won't have to have faith because when you see it, you believe it. When you see it. Do you remember when Jesus appeared to the 10 apostles that night of the resurrection? Judas was gone, he had hung himself, and Thomas wasn't there for some reason. And when Thomas found out later on that he'd missed the resurrection of Jesus, he said, I don't believe it unless I put my finger through the nail prints of his hand and my hand through his side. I will not believe. And then 8 days later, Jesus showed up again, and Thomas was there. And he invited Thomas to come and reach your finger and put it in the holes in my hand and your fist, your hand, and put it through my side. And Thomas believed. And Jesus said this in John 20, verse 20. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Well, guess what? I'm blessed because I have not seen, but I believe. Brother Charles is, and anybody else that believes, you are blessed. Because we weren't there 2,000 years ago. We were not invited by the angel to come in and see. We weren't like over 500 people that saw the resurrected Christ. We're 2,000 years removed from that event. But yet we have to believe. You know why we have to believe? Because our salvation depends on it. The difference between going to heaven and going to hell is our faith in Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection. And that's the message. There's some that believe, well, I'm a good person. I'll go to heaven. No, you have to believe. Others say, well, I go to church. No, you have to believe. Others say, I'm doing the best I can. I haven't hurt anybody. I haven't done anything wrong. And as long as I just keep doing the best I can, I'll be okay someday. No, you won't be okay someday. You must believe. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you have to believe. You have to confess with your mouth. Has there been a day, a time when you confess, I'm believing in Jesus. I believe he died. I believe he rose again. And my faith is in Jesus. And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Then the Bible says you'll be saved. Did it say do a bunch of good works and you'll be saved? Did it say go to church and you'll be saved? Did it say be baptized, be saved? No, it said you must believe in order to be saved. And whenever that angel invited them to check out the tomb, in essence, what are you saying? Come look at it so that you can believe. You have to believe. Do you believe? this morning, the difference between heaven and hell is that one word, believe. Faith. And not just faith in God, but faith that God sent His only begotten Son into this world. Faith that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Faith that Jesus died on a cross to pay your sin debt. Faith that He rose again to conquer death and conquer your sins so that you could go to heaven. That's what faith is all about. That's the cornerstone of our beliefs. That's what Christianity is all about. You must believe. And that day when the angel said, come and see, what he was saying is that you have to believe. You have to believe. Notice the third thing that the angel said that morning. He said, fear not, first off. Don't be afraid. Everything's going to be okay. Jesus is in control. He rose from the grave. God's in control. Don't be afraid of anything. Walk in peace. They said, come and see. Come and see where the risen Lord was. Believe now. You can believe that He is risen. That's what's going to save you. The third thing He said in verse number 7 was this. Go quickly and tell. Go quickly and tell. Don't stand around. Go quickly and tell. Go quickly and tell. Now, first off, who were they to tell? It was a command. He said, go quickly and tell His disciples. Well, those are the ones who already had believed. Go tell the apostles and go tell those followers of Jesus that He's risen from the grave. Then we go to the end of the chapter. Look at verse 19 and 20. After the disciples were told, notice what they're commanded to do. In verse number 19, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. He said, go tell the disciples. Now, after the disciples heard and believed, what were they to do? Go tell. Go tell. We get into the book of Acts, Acts 1, verse 8. And He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth. You know what the message to us today, 2,000 years later, is? Go quickly and tell somebody. Go tell somebody. Let's think about this. If they would not have fulfilled that commandment, let's say they don't tell. Where does Christianity end? Right there in the first century with those people, does it not? You know what's been going on for 2,000 years? People have been faithful to go and tell. People have given up their lives going and telling. Missionaries have sacrificed and gone into other lands to tell people. Preachers have risen up and preached the gospel. Lay people have shared the message with people they work with and their neighbors and friends. And for 2,000 years, thankfully, enough people have been going and telling so that you and I have gotten the message. Well, guess what? It's our turn to take the baton of the message and go tell somebody. Go tell. You say, who do I tell? Well, there's all kinds of people out there that need Jesus. Go just pick out somebody. Go start telling people. I remember when I first got saved, man, I was just so excited about being saved. I started telling everybody I knew. I told my mother, I told my dad, I told my brother, I told my sister, I told my grandmother, I told my aunts, and I told my uncles, I told my cousins. I told my neighbors, I told my friends. I'd tell people I didn't even know. I would tell them, hey, are you going to go to heaven someday? They kind of look at you like, wow, that's a pretty heavy question to be asking me. And from there, I would begin to share with them how that I knew for sure I was going to go to heaven. You know for sure? Yes, I know for sure. Why? How do you know? Were you? You real good or something? No, I'm real bad, but I have a Savior who's real good. Well, you don't have any sins, so I have a lot of sins, but they've all been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. You think you're better than anybody else? No, I'm not better than anybody else, but I'm a saint of God. I'm a child of God through faith in Jesus. I'm a child of the King. I'm not special, but He made me special. I'm not anything worth anything, but God may be something. And for these 39 years, I've been trying to tell people the same story over and over again. I know sometimes it sounds like a broken record, but you know what? It's a good record. It's a good place to be stuck in a record, isn't it? It's a good place to keep repeating. Just keep going and tell Him. You say, what if somebody doesn't want to hear it? It doesn't matter. You go and tell. What if somebody doesn't like what you're telling them? It doesn't matter. You go and tell. What if I don't think that person's going to get saved? It doesn't matter what you think. You go and tell. What if they're hard-hearted and you know they're going to be upset with me? It doesn't really matter. You just go and you tell somebody. Let me ask you something. Are you telling anybody about Jesus in your life? Does anybody even know you're a Christian at the place you work? I mean, does anybody even know in your neighborhood that you're a Christian? Does anybody, your family, do they really know you're saved and on your way to heaven? Or is it your own little secret? You don't anybody know? Well, I'm just kind of a private person. When anybody, listen, forget about being a private person when it comes to Christianity. Because are not we called to be shining, to be a light that shines? Are we not to be called to be ones that don't hide our light under a bushel? So let it shine. It means other people can see what you're all about. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Don't be ashamed. Go and tell. Go and tell. Not only is it a command, but you have to go and tell with compassion. With compassion. You know, there's people all around us that need Jesus. A lot of people are deceived. You know, the devil is a deceiver. He has pulled the wool over many people's eyes. He had me deceived for many years, thinking I was all right, I was pretty good, I was doing all that I could religiously. And I knew about God, I knew about Jesus, but I did not yet trust Jesus as my Savior. A lot of people are deceived. And when we go with the gospel message, we can't go arrogant and we can't go with a proud spirit or a haughty spirit, but we must go with compassion and let people know. You know, when Paul preached the word, the Bible says that he went day and night with tears begging people. The Bible says that Paul, in essence, said that I wish for my people, the Israelites, my brethren, the Jews, he said, I would give up my spot in heaven. I would be accursed if they could be saved. You talk about somebody that had compassion. Jude said, some having compassion, making a difference. You realize that people all around us have souls, eternal souls. And either they'll partake in the first resurrection, which is resurrection unto life, or they'll partake in the second resurrection, which is resurrection unto death. People will either go to heaven or people will go to hell. Listen, I'm not the one that made up what happens. I'm just the messenger. I'm not the one who designed heaven or hell. I'm not the one who game planned the whole thing. I'm not the one who planned it all out. I'm just the one who reads the Bible and tells what the Word of God has to say. And the Word of God says you better go and tell, because people are dying every day and people need a Savior. And your challenge during this Christmas season and this year and every year hereafter is go find some people that you can talk to and in love and compassion share the gospel. You say, I'm not sure what to say. Go take a handful of tracts and just say, listen, would you mind reading this sometime in your free time? Or invite them to church. Would you like to come to church one day with me and just sit there? You won't have to do anything. Just come and sit. I want you to come hear the preacher preach some Sunday. Or invite them over and share the gospel. Share your testimony. Tell them how you got saved. And then the fourth and last thing that I want you to see, what the angel said that day. As he said, go and tell. And then he says, verse number 7, go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, lo, I have told you. Notice what he said, the fourth thing he says, behold, he goes before you. He goeth before you. You say, what's the significance of that? This is all the angel said. He's done. After he completes that sentence, he has no more to say. He said, go. He goeth before you. What's he saying? He's saying that wherever we go, the Lord has already gone before us.
Yes.
He's saying that the Lord has prepared the way. Yes. He's saying that the Lord is guiding our step and protecting us and showing us his will. He's gone before you already, and so you just follow till you get to where he wants you to be. In a Christian life, We're not alone. In a Christian life, we're not just blown around like a tumbleweed out in the wind. We have a purpose, and God has a plan, and He's gone before us, and He's prepared a way, and He asks you to walk in the way that He's prepared for you. For them, He said, I'll meet you in Galilee. That's my will. I'll go before you, and when you come to Galilee, I'll see you there. He had a plan. He had a purpose for them. They were going to go to Galilee. They were going to preach there. They were going to share the message up there in the Galilean region. They would come back down again to Jerusalem. But He had a plan, and He prepared a way for them. And may I tell you today that God has a will, a plan, and purpose for all of you. He's already gone before you. You know what the good shepherd does with the sheep? He guides the sheep. And many times, in order to guide the sheep, He goes before because He needs to see if there's danger ahead. He needs to see where the water is so that they can go and drink by. He needs to see where the green pastures are. And so the shepherd goes before and He calls His sheep so that they can go to the place where they need to be. And in your Christian life, if you're going to be successful, you have to realize that the Lord is out in front of you. He's not behind you. And He's calling you. He's saying, look, come before. I have a plan. I have a way. Just keep following the plan that I have for you. Don't turn aside. Don't do your own will. Don't leave the plan and purpose that I have. He said He goes before you. He's already there in front of you. Just follow Him. Just follow Him. Our journey is not one by ourselves. Our journey is one in which the Lord leads us every step of the way. Look again at Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, the last verse. Excuse me. And He says in verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm what? With you always. How long is He with us? Even until the end of the world. Do you realize you can't escape the presence of the Lord? Do you realize you can't escape? He went before us. He's always with us. He's there. Psalm 23, the great verse, the great Psalm, verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Guess who's out in front of you the whole time, comforting you, guiding you, protecting you, shielding you? It's the Lord. Verse number 6 of Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that a great promise? We will always be with Christ. He will always guide us. He will always go before us. He will always protect us. He will always lead us to His plan and His purpose. Don't ignore Jesus in your life. Easter is a great day, and many times people come to church on Easter, but you know, God wants you to be with Him every day. And Easter is a great day to read the Word of God, but you know, every day is a great day to read the Word of God. And Easter is a great day to pray, but every day is a great day to pray. And Easter is a great day to come to church, but all the time that we have church is a great time to come to church. You see, what we're doing, what we have to understand and realize, is that the Lord goes before you, but He wants you to walk with Him. And He doesn't force you, but He encourages you. He encourages you. He says He stands at the door and knocks, and if any man will open that door and let him in, he'll come in and sup with him. And He with me. You know what the Lord wants from you? He just wants you to follow Him. He just wants you to fellowship with Him. You know He loves you. You know He created you because, not because God had nothing better to do. Not because He wanted a bunch of people running around that He could keep up with. He created you so that you could love Him and worship Him and fellowship with Him. And He says, I'm going to go before you and you come to Galilee and meet me there. In essence, where I am, make sure you always come there. You know where He is now? He's at the throne in heaven. And as we saw last Sunday, the veil is rent open, and He tells you, just come boldly. Come on up to me anytime and fellowship with me. But you know, if you don't read your Bible and pray and come to church regularly, you know what you're doing? You're kind of ignoring the Lord in your life. He said to the man, come and see me in Galilee. What if they wouldn't have gone to Galilee? What if they didn't show up? What if they said, you know what, I don't want to see Jesus. I'd rather stay here in Jerusalem. They'd miss out on fellowshipping with Jesus. Hey, you know what? Every day that we don't spend time with the Lord, we're missing out on fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, someday we'll see the risen Savior face to face. In fact, just to look at the last couple of verses in closing, Verse number 8, he departed quickly from the sepulcher and with fear, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciple word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail," and they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Can you imagine someday when we're in glory, we too will bow down and worship Jesus? Will we hold his feet like those people did? Will we praise him and worship him? Yes, we will. Someday we'll be in his presence, saying, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me and rising again. Thank you for preparing a way for me to be saved. Thank you for being my substitute so that I didn't have to pay for my sins. Thank you for rising triumphantly and giving me life so that I won't have to taste death, so that I too may rise someday in the great resurrection." Someday we'll be at his feet. We'll see the risen Savior. We'll see the nail prints in his hands. And no longer will we need faith, because then we will have sight. Until then, folks, until we see Jesus, listen to what the angel said to the two Marys that day. He said, "Don't be afraid. Walk in faith, not in fear. Don't be afraid. God's in control. Jesus rose from the grave. It's going to be okay. There's victory over death. You understand that? Don't be afraid." And then trust him. Go in and see. Trust him as Savior. If you're not saved this morning, pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior. And then go tell somebody else what the Lord's done for you. Go tell somebody else about the death and resurrection. And then realize that he wants you to be where he's going to be. Realize he's out in front of you, calling you to fellowship with him, to fulfill his will, to fulfill his plan. And you know, if you'll walk with him every day, you're preparing yourself for heaven, because in heaven you'll walk with him every single day for all eternity. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of looking forward to seeing the risen Savior. I don't know about you, but when I think about Easter, I get excited, because I know someday I'll rise with him also. Someday, the whole purpose and plan that God had for me and for you will come to fruition as we live for all eternity in our resurrected body with a resurrected Savior living in his kingdom. Folks, it doesn't get any better than that. And so as we close our message this morning, listen to what the angel had to say. And we thank God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's